Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass, the lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He Himself has declared His infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me Thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is His glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because He delighteth in mercy. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to Him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, He has sought to reveal Himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent His love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of Him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that He may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow by revealing to the world the infinite love of God that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. John chapter 1, verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. In describing His earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This was His work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for He had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of His divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of His life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that He might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach Him. Even the little children were attracted to Him. They loved to climb upon His knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but He uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in His intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, he bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in his life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion, manifest in Christ, flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God, manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from his lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God, it was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among men, to bear their sins, to die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2:11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages one with the race. He has redeemed the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, 1 John 3:1. What a value this places upon man! Through transgression, the sons of man become subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without parallel. Children of the Heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation, the matchless love of God for a world that did not love him. The thought has a subduing power upon the soul, and brings the mind into captivity to the will of God. The more we study the divine character in light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice, and the more clearly we discern innumerable evidences of that love that is infinite and a tender pity surpassing a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child. End of chapter 1.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Are you able to hear me?
Oh, hello. Hi, Sister Leola.
Okay, then. My phone had, someone had called me. So let me offer a word of prayer, Sister Tamika. Girl, I'm trying to get sick now. I'm making some soup for my husband, and now I'm coming down with my voice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I see if the later you get, the worse you get. Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Lord, to thank you, Lord, for your wonderful and blessing for us to be on this prayer line. We thank you so much for your love and your tender mercy. Blessing the sisters and brothers that come to join. And Lord, we also pray for those that are far off in other countries. We ask you to bless them and their family. Lord, We ask and also that you allow your Holy Spirit to teach us, lead and guide us on this prayer line, forgiving us of our sins, Lord. And Lord, help us to hear your word in the name of Jesus Christ. I can't do no more. My voice is getting worse. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Oh, my voice is getting worse.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So, Sister Tamika, I'm going to open your line, and you can share. It's, I don't know what happened. Nobody's on the line right now. I know my phone been dropping, but I'm going to let you share right now.
I can read
your Bible verse.
And I have a song.
Yes, you can do that.
Okay, praise the Lord. I hope you feel better. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, praise the Lord. Oh, amen. This is Sister Tamika from Florida. I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and thanks for bringing us through a new week. It's so wonderful that the Lord is always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I give the Lord all praise and honor and glory because he is so worthy to be praised. And thank you. Praise the Lord for every good gift and everything he does for us in Jesus' name. Amen. And I have Psalm 121 here. And it says, God, the help of those who seek him. So I will lift up my eyes to the hill. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome and mighty God, and he loves us all with an everlasting love. Praise the Lord. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of failing with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Praise the Lord for his faithfulness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. His faithfulness. You know, we may not be where we want to be, and we may not be or the person that's doing everything right, but God is faithful. And by God's grace, he got a people that he's preparing. And by God's grace, Sister Tamiko, he's gonna work something in our life as we are preparing for this time. You know, I talked to Sister Jackie today, a friend, and she said Sister Carla is over there in the woods where they are. So she came, this lady, when we was there at the meeting in Louisiana, Sister Carla met Sister Jackie, and Sister Jackie is there with Sister Carla, and they all, she said they're having a beautiful time. She said it's beautiful out there. So
that's,
I said, God
so
is
nice.
So good. But Sister Tamiko, so we got good. Brother Eli. We got Brother Eli waiting. So we're going to open his line. I made some, Sister Tamiko, some broccoli soup. So I thank God it smells so good. It smells
God
good.
God bless you.
So my God's grace.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, Sister Tamiko, for always being faithful and you're on here and you show love to God. So I thank you. I thank
I
you
love
for
you
always
very
being
much.
Faithful. Love you
Amen.
Too, my sister.
Love you, sister.
Okay, we're gonna I don't know, I'm gonna have you to pray a prayer later on. Excuse me. Later. But I'm gonna open the line for Brother Eli. Amen. So let us open Brother Eli.
Amen.
No. Amen. Hold on. 857-505. Your line is open.
Amen.
And you can give your
hand. Hello. Amen. Amen. Hello. Hello, Sister Miola and Sister. Hello, my brothers, sister. Hello, 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 my brothers and sisters. How we do, beloved? God is good. He's worthy to be praised. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty. He's a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And Sister Miola, I like to thank God for his love because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Miola, I have a prayer request at this moment. My prayer request to lift up my mom in prayer. Don't forget to lift up individuals in prayer, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, I am very I'm faithful, Sister Miola. I'm very humble. I'm very loving, Sister Miola, and Sister Miola, please lift up individuals in prayer because I need a lot of prayer, Sister Miola. I need deliverance at this moment, and Sister Miola, don't forget to tell the others to on this line to please lift me up in prayer because Sister Miola, I'm just not surprised at this moment. So I want individuals, everyone on this prayer line to please lift me up in prayer. I'm just not surprised at this moment. Thank you for opening my line.
That's okay, Brother Eli. God hears your prayers, and God sees your every tear that you cry. Because if you're not getting the right treatment from anyone, you know what? Trust the Lord. He is your Savior. And people,
Amen.
The Bible tells us evil is pressing on every hand, Brother Eli. It's nothing you're going to get today from no one. But But if you trust God, if you trust him, Brother Eli, he is the judge for the evil and the good. Don't worry about nobody, but you just thank God that he got you in his hand, and he loves you, okay? So we're just going to lift you up in prayer right now, just offer a word of prayer for you, brother, because we know that you have love in your heart. Okay, Sister Tamika, mm-hmm. We're going to lift Brother Eli up in prayer. Okay, Heavenly Father, Lord, I know you hear your son cry. Lord, he always want to be a friend. And, Lord, you say if he wants to be a friend, to show himself friendly. Lord,
yes.
We cannot test or we cannot aggravate nobody, but, Lord, but if people just don't want to be a friend of Brother Eli, let him look to Jesus. Because our
yes.
Savior said he is closer than a friend. He's closer than a brother. And you don't need no friend that don't love you or that don't care about you. But, Father, we pray for Brother Eli. We lift him up to you right now because his heart hurts because of his friends. He want to show love to them. But, Lord, they don't always show love. So now, Lord, Father, I'm asking that you be with him and show him that, you know, to put his hand in your hand, trust you to show that love. Lord, only you can give the love that he's looking for. So let him trust you, Father. And, Lord, I thank you so much that he can come to this prayer line and that he can talk to us. And we lift him up. We understand him, Lord. We've been having Brother Eli on here and talking with him and teaching him, Lord. So, Lord, please have mercy upon him. Lord, we know how much you love your children. I was going to read that scripture. The Bible says that the person have not rejected Eli, he rejected Christ. And when they reject Christ, Christ got that judgment, they will come. So, Lord, thank you so much that that Brother Eli is humble and he's crying out to you, Father. So bless him. Keep him, Father. And, Lord, even on where he work and where he go to school, and Lord, be with all of the little people, all the people there, to let them know that they love one another, they can get along better. So thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, Brother Eli, just trust God. That's all you can do, baby. Trust him.
Amen.
He's going to make that
amen.
Way for you. Okay.
Amen.
We have another one on the prayer line. It's Sister Barnaby. Sister Barnaby is going to pray. And let me, so we want to thank Brother Eli for coming on. And we want to thank him for sharing. And Mama Barnaby. You can lift Brother Eli up because he's having sorrow of the heart. So we're going to open your line. I know this, Sister Barnaby. That's 518-650. Your line is open.
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York. And can I sing a song and pray? Sister Neogla, can I sing a song and pray?
Yes, ma'am. You can. If no one else, you can sing your song and read your scripture and offer the prayer. There's nobody else there yet. You are first, so go ahead.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And I'm going to read Isaiah 51, verse 11. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we come before you this evening, nothing into our hands we bring, but simple to you we come. And worthy and holy and done nothing good, O God, but because of your grace and your mercy, we are here. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, because you know our every need. Wash us and cleanse us, O God. Forgive us of our sins. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness and make us into what you want us to be. Lord, I put each and every one on this prayer line before you. I put Brother Eli and his mom and all his family and his friends and all those who he come in contact with, dear God. He's always complaining. I'm asking to remove the obstacle out of his way. Jesus, you know everything about him, God, and you know those who are hurting him. Heavenly Father, I am asking you, God, to send your holy angel to give them a vision so that they can come to know you, who to know God. Father, he's always hurting. He's always complaining. But by the God, you see him, you know him, and you know everything about him. Give him, comfort him, dear God. Help him to rebuke, to remove, and to destroy the devil, and let your word be heard, be seen, and be glorified. Oh, God, it's not easy. But Heavenly Father, you see everything that he's going through. And, Lord, I know you will make a way because you are a way maker, and there is no other God but you. I put each and every one on the prayer line before you, Lord. Each and every one of us that partake on the prayer line and those that are in the background listening. God, because we know you are God and we know you hear and you answer prayer. There's nothing too hard you cannot do. And there's no mountain you cannot climb, oh God. There's no sickness you cannot cure. You can heal. You can deliver. You can destroy. You can set free. You can build up. You can break down. And you can do everything. Heavenly Father, we need you. Because we are not worthy. We are not holy. We are nothing good. But because of your grace and your mercy, we are not consumed. Your compassion fail not, Lord. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As I have read, there will soon be no more weeping, no more sighing, no more heartache, no more pain, no more sorrow. Because God, you are coming for your chosen people. Help us to forgive us of our sins, O God, and help us to be saved. Lord, we need you. Help us to put away pride, to put away everything that is unlike you, to Lord, you know what is best for us. We need to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. So, Heavenly Father, have your way in our life. Let your will be done according to your will. Wash us and cleanse us, mold us and fashion us, anoint us, purify us, O God. We need your hands. We need your healing hands upon us because your coming is near and we are not saved. So, Lord, please help us, Jesus. Please help us, Almighty God, to put away self and to put away evil-minded and corrupt mind and the mind that is not of you. Oh, God, we beg of your mercy. We beg of your grace. We beg of your compassion. Take full control, Lord God, and let everything be done according to your will. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. Lord, the person who will break the bread of life this evening, I put them into your hand, dear God. I am asking you to let that person not be seen, but let you be seen. And let everything that person said come in from your throne. You are a great God, a mighty God, a holy God, an awesome God, a miraculous God, and there is no other God but you. Thank you, dear Jesus, because your name is worthy to be praised. Lord, please heal the sick. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, open shelter for the homeless. Oh, God, freely you receive and freely you give. Be with every minister, every pastor, every one that have authority, oh, God, I put them into your hand. Lord, be in all the hospitals, all the nursing homes, all the seniors' apartments. Oh, God, take full control, Lord. Have your way, dear Lord. Let your will be done, Heavenly Father. I beg of your mercy, your grace, your truth, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name, dear Father. Great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. All we have needed, your hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness unto us. O God, our faith look up to you, the Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear us as we pray, O God, take all our sins away. Oh, let us from this day be wholly thine. All we have to do is sing of your love, because endless praise our heart should give. You have died, O God, so that we are here. All we have to do is sing our love to you. Thank you for your guidance, for your protection, for your healing hands, O God. Anoint us. Take away self and take away everything that easily beset us. Lord, we are human. We are no good. But because of your grace and your mercy, we are alive. So thank you for everything you have been doing, what you continue doing, and what you will forever do. I beg and I ask, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, hello? Amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby. I can hear you. I can hear you. So thank you, Sister Barnaby, for the prayer. Thank you for the song. Did you read the scripture? I thought you were going to read the scripture.
Yes, I read the scripture. I read Isaiah 51, verse 11.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Okay, that's right. I heard. Well, thank you so much, Mama Barnaby, for lifting up everyone on this prayer line, Brother Eli, and we so need it, and I'm so happy that we have not just one, but Sister Barnaby, your prayer is for, I'm telling you, it's a blessing that we can have another mother praying for us. So we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your presence on this prayer line. And you come and testify of God's goodness and always faithful to the prayer line. So thank you so much. May God bless you and keep you and your family. And I just want to say I'm thankful to you always come and support the prayer line. Amen. And let's see if we have anyone else. We don't have anyone else just yet. So we just want to thank God for his goodness. And I'm hoarse right now. My voice is leaving. My husband got sick. Now it's coming on me. And by God's grace, I came and I made a nice pot of broccoli soup. And I'm telling him, I said, Lord, I'm going to do this. I said, because I might need some. So now I'm feeling it now. And my husband been running this fever for since Friday. So I just want to thank God for keeping us and blessing us. But it goes down and then it go back up. So I got to get back home to speak to him. So thank you so much, Sister Bonnie. That's why I say your prayer is so appreciated. Amen. And so, but I'm going to read a little statement, the last day event. And let me see about what time it is. It's almost 7 o'clock. We have a few more minutes, quite a few minutes, because Brother Akeem, he'll usually come till about 7:20, 7:30. It's a last day event. It is a fearful thing to treat lightly the truth which has convicted our understanding and touch our heart. We cannot impute, reject the warning which God in mercy sends us. A message was sent from heaven to the world in Noah's day, and the salvation of men depended upon the manner in which they treated that message. Because they reject the warning, the Spirit of God was withdrawn from the sinful race, and they perish in the water of the flood. In the time of Abraham, mercy ceased to plead with the guilty inhabitants of Sodom, and all but Lot with his wife and two daughters were consumed by the fire sent down from heaven. So in the days of Christ, the Son of Man declared to the unbelievers, Jews of that generation, your house is left unto you desolate. Look down to the last days. The same infinite power declared concerning those who receive not the love of the truth, and they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be them who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness as they reject the teaching of his word. God withdraws his spirit and leaves them to deceptions which they love. Mercy. And sisters and brothers, as we see the word of God, said that they don't love the truth. And you know, you have so many people that not understand it, but you know what God says? He winked at their ignorance. But it's coming to a time, it won't be ignorance. God warned them time after time, and they rejected, and so they're no longer ignorant. They just reject it because they don't want to accept it. So I just thank God for his word. Excuse me. I thank God for the blessing to be on this prayer line and sharing on this prayer line, hosting it. So God bless my brothers and sisters. Bless us on this prayer line. Bless the host and all that work on the prayer line. I thank God for that. And so now, sisters and brothers, we're going to go to Sister Tamika, going to give a song also. And she... Sister, I'm open to Sister Tamika line. Amen. So thank you once again, Sister Bonnie, for your prayers, your song, and your scripture. May God continue to bless you and keep you. Amen. So, Tamika, I'm going to open your line for a song. You have your song, Sister Tamika? You have a song?
Yes, I have a song, Sister Leola. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Okay,
but
praise the Lord.
Amen. Walking in integrity.
Say that again.
Thank you for the name of the song is Walking in Integrity, Psalms 26. It's taken from Psalms 26.
Amen.
And thank you for opening my life, Sister Leola. Praise the Lord. Please judge me, Lord. Observe my loyalty.
Observe my trust in you, in my integrity. Examine me and put me to the test. My mind and heart revive, that my soul might be blessed. Do not fear with wicked men of life. I hate the company of those who truth defy. Jehovah, please don't take away my life with men who take delight in bribery and in strife. But as for me, determined I will be to walk eternally in my integrity. For I have loved the dwelling of your house, your worship, oh, so pure, I daily will espouse, and I will march around your altar grand to make thanksgiving heard aloud throughout the land.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Leona, for opening my life. And I'll give a small word of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious day of life. We thank you so much for watching over us and taking care of us. Lord, we bless your holy name. We glorify your great and holy name, Lord, and we magnify your great and holy name. Lord, we thank you that you love us all with an everlasting love. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that we are the apple of your eye. And we are so grateful to be here on this prayer line with all of our beloved brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we are praying for Sister Leola, that she will feel better, Heavenly Father. You are the great physician. You are the Dr. Jesus. There's nothing my God cannot do. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you heal her with a special touch of supernatural healing in her body and healing for her husband as well, Brother Ray. We pray for all of her family members, Sister Nicole, Brother Jarvis, Shiloh, and Jarvis Jr. Lord, bless her family, her children, her grandchildren, Lord, and we ask for healing in her body. Dear Lord, because by your stripes we are healed. Heavenly Father, if we could touch the hem of your garment, she will be made whole. So we're praying for a healing touch in her body, dear Lord, to help her to be well, dear Lord. We know that you are in control, Lord, and you have the final say. Our God is able to do all things, Father. So thank you for being with us tonight, and thank you for being with Sister Leola and healing her, dear Lord, only the way that you can, Father God, because without you we could do nothing, as you are the vine and we are the branches. Lord, you are the potter and we are the clay. We thank you for everything you do for us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for our homes. We have a place to live. We thank you for our children, our grandchildren, Lord. We ask that you save each and every one of us today. Heavenly Father, we ask for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon Sister Leola, Sister Powell, Sister Stephanie, Sister Barnaby, for the beautiful song she sang for us, Father God, and for Brother Eli, who is hurting, dear Lord. We ask that you help your son, dear Lord. Give him your love and your guidance and your protection, Heavenly Father. Help him, dear Lord, and we ask that you show him your compassion that only you can, Father God. We thank you, Lord, it is written in your word. Fear not, Brother Eli, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So, Brother Eli, you don't have to feel so sad and depressed because the Lord knows your heart. He knows that you're loving and kind, Brother Eli. You're humble, and that you're winning souls for Jesus at the Day Club program. And I would like to read that psalm for you, Brother Eli, to give you encouragement. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the year, well, that is better than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in the tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the courage of thy wing, Salem. For thou, O God, hast heard my vow. Thou hast given me the heritage of those who fear the name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years of many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform your vows. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Brother Eli, God hears your cry for help. He saves your tears in the bottle. He knows what you're going through, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm praying that the Lord will give you the peace that surpasses all human understanding, that you don't have to be troubled because your God is with you. He's walking with you, and he's holding your hand. For each and every one of us, may we never have to feel sad or depressed because our God is an awesome God. He's with us always. He is King of King and Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our Messiah. He is our Majesty. And he loves us so much. He takes good care of each and every one of us. He keeps us protected. So, Lord, I'm asking that you bless us all in a marked way tonight. Lord, I'm lifting up each and every person tonight on this prayer line. Brother Akeem James, bless, guide, and keep his family safe and well. Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother Rick and his family, his wife, his children, his grandchildren, his mom and dad. Continue to bless him, dear Lord. Watch over him and keep him safe and well at all times. Heavenly Father, we pray for the youth. We pray for the nation. Lord, we are praying for the sick, the homeless, the poor, and the lame. Continue to bless those who are in nursing homes, those who are sick in hospitals. Dear Lord, they need you so bad. We're praying for Hawaii in Maui, that they've been having these wildfires. Lord, we ask that you be with them and strengthen them. We're praying for the bereaved who have lost their loved ones, dear Lord. But we know it says in your word, it is written, God will wipe out every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be anymore. The former things have passed away. So, Lord, we're trusting and standing on your promises that you will make a way for us where there seems to be no way, that you will hide us all in the ark of safety, Lord, and that you will hide us behind the cross of Calvary, Lord, that you will hide us in your secret holy presence where there is love and joy, peace, happiness, and protection. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for everything you do and say for each and every one of us, Lord. And we ask that you forgive us of all our sins and shortcomings because we fall short many times. Create in us all a clean heart, O God. Renew within us a right spirit and cast us not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit away from us, but restore unto us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with thy free spirit. Lord, we ask that you purge us with hyssop and we shall be clean. Lord, wash us all and we shall be whiter than snow. Heavenly Father, we need you in these last days. Please help us, be with us, save our children. Lord, save our families, save our loved ones. Help us to draw closer to you in these last days because we need you every minute, every hour, and every second. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to be with each and every one of us. Walk with us along life's narrow ways. Strengthen us, Lord. We ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and discernment Let the Holy Spirit always be our teacher and our guide. Lord, we lift up all the teachers around the world, the students. We pray for the doctors, the lawyers, the nurses. We pray for the president. We ask that you be with him, Lord. Strengthen him and help him, dear Lord, and give him wisdom and knowledge, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do and say for each and every one of us. And we lift up all of our beloved brothers and sisters worldwide. We pray for Sister Brenda and Brother John and their family and their children. Bless them abundantly, more than they can ever ask for them. Bless each and every one of them, Lord. I'm praying for myself and my family, Lord. I'm asking for safe travel and mercy for my daughter, Kyosha, to bring her home safe, Lord. Watch her going in and going out. Father God, we ask that you dispatch a hedge of holy guardian angels round about her and her car. Dear Lord, and I pray that for anyone who's out there, Lord, please give them safe traveling mercies and bring them back home to their families safe and well. Lord, we ask that you hold us close in the precious palm of your holy hands, Lord, close to your bosom. We ask that you be with each and every one of us. We lift up Sister Carla, who is at the camp meeting. Bless her children as well, Nicholas and Amanda. Bless, guide, and keep her, Father God. Cover her under the blood of Jesus and the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Be with each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you so much for hearing and answering our prayers, Lord. And we thank you again. We place everything into your precious holy hands. We love you, Lord. We trust in you and we believe in you. Thank you for hearing these prayers. In the precious and matchless and mighty name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray always with praise and thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. And we're going to ask for one more prayer because we're going to ask Brother Eli. Brother Eli can offer a prayer, and we're going to let him pray because he always, Brother Eli going to pray and lift up others too. So we're going to open his line also. Thank you, Sister Tamika, once again, because we all, God, hear our prayer. So let me open Brother Eli line up, and he can offer a word of prayer. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Viola, for opening my line. Let us pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we magnify your name, God, this moment, God. God, we want to praise your name because God, you are wonderful, God. You are awesome, God. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. How excellent is your name, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for us, Lord. God, this moment, God, I want to lift Sister Miola to you, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Miola, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to cover her, God, with your blood, Lord. We ask God to break every chain for Sister Miola, Lord. God, I want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Miola, Lord. Oh, God, I want to lift up her children to you, Lord. Brother Jarvis, Lord. Bless Brother Jarvis, Jesus. God, I want to lift a Sister Miola's other grandson, God, that used to come in the prayer line, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to allow him, God, to come back on the prayer line, God, to come praise you, Lord, to come magnify your name, God. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift a Sister Paulette to you, Lord. We ask you, God, to come bless Sister Paulette, Lord. We ask God, I want to thank you, God, that Sister Paulette, Lord, and Sister Tamiko, Lord, was praying for me, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for all of us, God. Oh, God, I want to lift up Sister Paulette to you, Lord. We ask God to give her the strength, God. God, we ask God to give her the deliverance, God. God, we ask God to watch over her, Lord. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Tamiko to you, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Tamiko, God, the victory, Lord. Give Sister Tamiko deliverance, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Tamiko's son to you, Lord. Whether Taiwan, God, and Sister Cadian, Lord. We ask God to change them, Father. We ask you, God, to take off the stony heart. part of this, Lord. We ask God to allow them to be obedient, Lord. Allow them to cry out to you, Lord. God, we ask God to give them a heart of flesh, Lord. We ask God to give them the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, with His love, kindness, self-control, Lord, long-suffering, God. God, I want to lift up everyone to you, Lord. God, I want to lift up Brother Shaq to you, Lord. Bless Brother Shaq, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Give Brother Shaq the strength, God. Give Brother Shaq deliverance, God. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. Oh, God, bless Brother Shaq, Lord. God, come bless individuals to you, Lord. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift up Brother Javel to you, Lord. Change him, Father. Change him, Lord. Just like Sister Tamiko say, Lord. Change Brother Javel, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We declare, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, God, to take up that stony heart of his, Lord. We ask you, God, to give him a heart of flesh, Lord. Allow him to be obedient, Lord. Allow him to learn, God, the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, with his love, kindness, self-control, Lord. Lord, suffering, God. God, we ask God to change him, Father. Change him at this moment, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. God, I want to lift up Brother Akeem James, Lord, who's coming to preach on the prayer line, Lord. Bless Brother Akeem James, Lord. Watch over him, God. God, we ask God to cover him, God, with your blood, Lord. God, bless Brother Akeem James, God, who's going to come preach your word, Lord. Bless Brother Akeem James, Lord. Come bless individuals, Lord. Watch over individuals, God. God, I want to lift a Sister Power, God, to you, Lord. We want to lift a Sister Stephanie K. Jane, God, your Lord. Bless them, Lord. Watch over them, God. God, come bless Sister Carla, Lord. Watch over Sister Carla, Lord. Watch over Sister Miola, Lord. Sister Miola, cry out to you, Jesus. Jesus, we cry out to you, Lord. Sister Paula, cry out to you, Lord. Sister Tamiko, cry out to you, Jesus. We cry out to you, Lord. God, come deliver us, God. Hide us, Lord. Sister Paula, cry out to you, Lord. Sister Tamiko, cry out to you, Jesus. Bless us, God. Watch over us, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Amen.
We only got to get the eyeglasses right. All right. Amen. Amen. Brother Akeem James is with us, and Brother Akeem, we all prayed and lift you up also. So by God's grace, we're going to open up Brother Akeem James' line, and he can bring us the word. Amen. Because he's on early, and let us open his line. So we thank you, Brother Eli, for lifting up brothers and sisters in prayer. God is so good, and he hear your prayer. Amen. 301-604, we're going to open your line. Amen.
All right.
Brother Akeem,
yes,
your line is
amen.
Open.
Amen. All right. Glad to be back on once again, and appreciate the prayer, Brother Eli. And as we continue in our subject today, we'll be studying Revelation 14, continuing with our study of the three angels' messages. And let's have a word of prayer as we continue. Father in heaven, continue to guide us, strengthen us, and draw us ever closer to you. May we understand the things that we study. May you transform our hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, we have gone over the aspect of the judgment hour of having Jesus as our intercessor, according to Revelation 14, verse 7. The hour of God's judgment has come. We've seen the hope that there is a high priest in that judgment. That high priest is Christ. We also saw that Christ is calling us in light of the judgment back to the foundation of the judgment, which is his law, which is the foundation of every judgment that God does because of James chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, that all will be judged by the law of liberty. And so in light of that, the law of God is the foundation of the judgment. But the good news is that there is a high priest who strengthens us and gives us the power of his own life to meet the standard of the law. For he met that standard. We cannot meet it in and of ourselves. Christ dwelling in us by his Spirit can reproduce his own character within us so that it meets the very standard of the law, which is the foundation of the judgment. And friends, it's not just the law, but it points to the reality that the world has turned away from a specific portion of God's law, if not the entirety of it. And that is mentioned in the words or in the phrase, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water, or, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea. Found out that that portion came from the fourth commandment specifically. And so as it relates to the fourth commandment, God reveals that this commandment has been forsaken by the world, and in the first angel's message, men are being called back to that commandment. And they are being called back to that commandment in light of two judgments, the investigative judgment, the judgment that comes after the investigative judgment is over, and that is the judgment of the seven last plagues. For fountains of water is a phrase that is taken from the story of the flood. As the flood broke upon the world, the fountains of the great deep were broken up, a symbol that now the flood had come and the earth itself was being broken down. And so those who weren't in the ark, they were lost in light of that because they did not choose the only way of salvation, which was the ark. The ark points forward in its most basic sense. The ark points forward to the coming Messiah, the only way of salvation. Another point we will study how specifically Christ seeks to draw the world to himself by his cross. It is his cross uplifted in a specific context. That's for another message. Now, in light of that, last two times, we also saw that there is a system that has arisen in opposition to the law of God. That system is known as Babylon. Babylon has two parts. The first part arose in the Dark Ages, during the Dark Ages, specifically rising just prior to the Dark Ages in 538, establishing itself in 538. Not that it began to exist in 538, but it established itself in 538 onward to 1798. That was the papal system, the first part of Babylon, the mother of harlots. And the harlots are her other unfaithful daughters, sadly the churches that came out of her, but now are returning to her because they have always been connected to her through the two umbilical cords of Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul. This is the second fall of Babylon. So the first part is as it relates to the mother. Babylon is fallen. But there are two falls. Babylon is fallen is fallen. The second part of Babylon are her daughters. That began, speaking of them, we found out last time in the book Great Controversy, the chapter relating to the loud cry, it spoke and showed us that corruptions began just around the time and leading up to the summer of 1844, that the churches, corruptions began to enter into the churches. One of them being that they rejected the second coming of Jesus Christ. And there were other corruptions because they weren't steadily advancing to cut ties with even the umbilical cords that connected them to the Babylonian system of the papacy. Because they did not continue to advance in the light and Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul remained, those two connections ultimately drew them back into other heresies, other corruptions, which began around the time and were called out around the summer of 1844 as it relates to the fallen churches, the harlot daughters of Babylon. And so these are the two falls, the papacy, the rest of the evangelical churches that choose to remain connected to the papacy. Hence the fall is twice, speaking of those two parts of the Babylonian system. And not only has she fallen, meaning in error, so Babylon in its totality, the papacy and her daughters, the fallen churches, but not only has she fallen, but it also says here that she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, a symbol that she has made all nations drunk with her doctrines. And friends, as you look into the many different religions of the world today, even outside of Christendom and within Christendom, this aspect of the immortality of the soul and reverence, even in paganism, for sun worship and the occult. All of these things are tied back to the aspect of false doctrine. So the world has drunk of principles that comprise the papal system and the fallen churches, and it is also the other way around as well, and that Babylon itself, these churches and the papacy, they did not cleanse themselves from these aspects that are connected to pagan worship. And so the result is what happened? Because that connection remained, because they never advanced, this cycle continues. Either they corrupt the world, which is as it's shown in Revelation 14:8, they corrupted the world by making it drunk, or the other way around, that those principles that are of the world have corrupted the church. And so as a result, Babylon is corrupted, and she continues to corrupt the nations in light of these teachings, in light of these doctrines that are not in harmony with the Word of God. Now, in light of that, we go into verse 9. So we have an understanding of who Babylon is. Babylon in its totality. This Babylon that has fallen twice, papacy, and the evangelical churches. What have they done? They've made the world drunk with their doctrines, their teachings. And they've also caused the world to buy into the understanding that the power of the church lies in connection with civil powers. This is the fornication of Babylon, by the way. When you look at it where it says, because she has made all nations drunk with the wine of the wrath of her fornication, the wrath that comes from her fornication, the only way to understand what the wrath is that we have to understand what the fornication is. The fornication is mentioned in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1, interestingly enough, verses 1 and 2. Because notice what it says there. This happened during the Dark Ages, and it will be repeated again. Revelation 17:1 says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore, speaking in reference to the papal system, that sits upon many waters. Verse 15 reveals that those waters are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Now look at the fornication, with whom the king, speaking of this whore, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. They've committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Do you see the connection? So because Babylon has relied on human power, that is the civil power, the kings of the earth, the result of this union of the religious and the civil is that the world has been impacted. Do you see it? It says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, that's the union, the illegal union. And then it says, what is the result? The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And this is why, because during the time of papal domination, during the Dark Ages, the nations of the then known world were made drunk with that wine of false doctrine. Why? Because what? Those things were enforced upon the people. The dogmas of the papacy were enforced upon the people. Why? Because the papacy worked through the civil powers to enforce them. Do you see that? So the papacy uniting with the dukes and princes and monarchs of Western Europe were able, through these monarchs, to influence the inhabitants of Western Europe and beyond that. Because the papacy did a lot of missionary work at that time, sending priests and leaders to different lands outside of even Western Europe to gain power and dominance over those territories. But how did they do it? How were they able to do it? By making a league, by having an illicit relationship with the civil powers of the earth. So through having a relationship with the kings, they were able to dominate the nations, the people who those kings ruled over. So this is the fornication. And what comes out of that fornication? Wrath. Because if you don't obey, you suffer the consequences. Hence, it's called the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, the wrath that comes from the illicit union of church and state. Now, friends, this is powerful because this is going to happen again Whereas it happened through the papacy during the Dark Ages, due to the papacy losing its civil power in 1798, the other power, there's a power that rises, which the kings of the earth once again copy in the last days to again form an illicit union with the papal system. Dominating the world, and friends, that power is evangelical Protestantism, apostate Protestantism. This is why it's so powerful, because Revelation 14 is the three angels' messages. We find the three angels' messages, right? But in Revelation 13, we find why there is a necessity for the three angels' messages. Why? Because there are powers, two nations, two political powers in Revelation 13 that have united to deceive the world. That is the papacy, Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, the beast that rises up out of the sea. And then verses 11 through 18, we find another power that rises up, even the United States and Protestantism within the United States, becoming apostate in its way of operation, will once again bring power to the papacy. And as it does this, friends, starting in the United States, the result will be that the rest of the world will follow. The rest of the leaders of the world, as they see church and state uniting within this nation. This is why, friends, regardless of whether a Sunday law is passed in Poland or some other place or not, this is not the main issue. That can happen there, but friends, nobody else. Rarely will you find anybody else following that. And that's why, even though that has happened, and it's not even to the point that Revelation 13 talks about, because there are stages in the Sunday law that is depicted in Revelation chapter 13. What happened in Poland is not on that level. And Poland not being as influential as the United States, even if it does it on its most surface level, that's why you don't see others following. Because this is not what Bible prophecy has predicted. Bible prophecy points the eye to the United States of America. And so now we go back to Revelation 13 now. We go back to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, and we continue now in the third angel's message. So, but there's coming a time where, as it was in the past, just as the church in the Dark Ages united with the civil powers, in the end of time, that union will once again happen. Apostate Protestantism, according to Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, in the United States will receive power and unite with the state, with the government, in order to enact certain laws. And we're coming to this because it says in Revelation 14 and verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. So you see, there are two forms of wrath. Revelation 14:8 ends off with the wrath that comes when Protestantism, Babylon, unites with the civil powers of the world, but starting off in the U.S., this is what Revelation 13 reveals, that a nation would arise from the earth, from a scarcely populated area, and Protestantism rising in that nation would unite with the state. The religious and the civil will come together, and what will the result be? The result will be wrath. Right? So the result of this illicit union will be wrath and power restored to the papacy. Once that happens, the third angel's message becomes a reality. I pray that this makes sense, friends. And I pray that all that we've covered, I'm just mentioning things here because we've gone over Revelation 13 many times about the sea beast and especially the earth beast. We found out that the earth beast, we'll go back to Revelation 13, let me just give a recap, because I never want to assume that everyone that is listening at the moment is a person who was here before. There may be someone who is new, so we will recap it. So Revelation 13, verses 11 through 13. In light of what we've covered before, verses 1 through 10, the sea beast is the papal system. But now, there's another beast that rises when the papal system's power begins to wane. This power is spoken of in verse 11 of Revelation 13. It says, "And I beheld, and another beast came up out of the earth." A beast in Bible prophecy, Daniel 7:23, represents a nation or a civil power, a political power. "So I beheld another political power rising up out of the earth, a symbol of a scarcely populated area, or an area that in comparison to Western Europe, where the papacy arose, it is an area that is not as populated, hence it's acknowledged as the earth. And friends, there is only one power that was rising when the papacy's power was waning." Now, how come I say when the papacy's power was waning? Because if you look at the last two verses relating to the papacy in Revelation 13, that is verses 9 and 10, it says, "If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." And friends, the one that killed with the sword, if you look at Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, speaking of the papal system, this is the power that led men into captivity. That same power was led into captivity during the French Revolution. The same power that killed with the sword, and the sword in Scripture, yes, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, is a symbol of the Word of God. But according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, the sword is also a symbol of the power of the state, of the civil power. And in context here, what allowed the papacy to kill others? It's not the Word of God, but rather the power of the state. So what we are looking at here is the same papacy that led others into captivity was also taken into captivity. That's what happened. 1798, Pope himself was taken into captivity by Napoleon's general. "He that kills with a sword shall be killed with a sword." And it's very interesting. The same papacy that used France and other civil nations, civil powers, to kill people. We are told in the powerful book, Great Controversy, and also other historical sources, that France, the most ardent civil power that supported the papacy, turned against it during the French Revolution. So the same papacy that used the sword, that is, civil power, to persecute and kill, was also temporarily, mortally wounded, killed by the sword, that is, the civil power of France. But while that was happening, another nation was rising, and that is the United States. It's the only power that was a world power by the time the French Revolution was happening. Around 1798, as that was happening in France, the French Revolution beginning, going all the way through the 1790s, as this was happening, another power was rising and was already recognized as a world power. 1776, the Declaration of Independence concerning that nation was already laid out and declared. Friends, it was the United States of America. So this is the earth beast that is mentioned in verse 11. A beast that rose up and had two horns like a lamb, meaning it would have two powers, horns, that governs it, and the way that its government was set up, it made the nation look like a lamb, which was a symbol in Bible prophecy, according to John chapter 1 and verse 29, is a symbol for Jesus Christ. In other words, the nation that was rising during the time of the papacy's power waning, that nation would look like a Christian, quote-unquote, nation. But friends, when it would speak, speak like the devil himself. And the way that a nation speaks is through its laws. And the United States, in its very beginnings, meaning in the time that it began to bring in different ways of development and began to increase in power as a nation from the time that the pilgrims came to this land, friends, you can see the dragon speech of the nation, whether it be in the form of persecuting certain groups such as slaves, bringing people here for the purpose of using them as slaves, and passing laws, speaking as a dragon, passing laws to uphold slavery, despite the fact that its constitution and its declaration gave the idea of freedom. There were men and women who were brought here and treated as brute slaves. But not only that, friends, at the same time, other groups such as Native Americans were also persecuted because, friends, they had land and territory here. But that land, in many cases, was taken from them. There are situations like wars like the American Indian Wars that took place in which, friends, it is estimated, and this is why I'm careful in always saying that the territory was scarcely populated when compared to Western Europe. Western Europe had approximately over 78 million people. But in comparison to the Americas, friends, when the pilgrims arrived here, there were approximately, according to Native American scholars and historians, 50 million people here. After the American Indian Wars, friends, it dwindled down to some 250,000. Many Native Americans were killed during those wars. And so what we're looking at is 50 million in comparison to 78 million people is a lot less. And this is what this nation was like. But from its beginnings, we see that laws were instituted to persecute certain people groups, while the very constitution of the nation, along with the Declaration of Independence, gave the idea of freedom. The nation was contradicting its founding documents. And so hence we see, this is why it says, and he spake as a dragon. It's not just that the United States will speak in the future as a dragon. It spake as a dragon. Spake, the tense there being in the past. And so from its past, it was speaking like a dragon, even from its beginnings through its laws against certain people groups. Why is that important? Because, friends, there is coming a day where a certain group once again will be attacked. No longer will it just be about race, as it was in the beginning, such as Native Americans or slaves. But, friends, it will be a certain group that will stand and be persecuted based on their religious beliefs. That is a group that stands upon the truths of God's word will be persecuted by laws that will be enacted against them. And this is what is revealed in verse 12. It says here, and he exercises, speaking of the United States, all the power of the first beast. That is, the first beast, the beast that rose up out of the sea. That is who? The papacy. It says, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So do you see what happens? And it says, just in case we're wondering who the first beast is, it says, worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Who's that? The papal system. So the United States rises up. There's coming a point where it will glorify, lead the world to worship the first beast, starting here and then spreading throughout the world. That means the papacy will rise to a head once again. But how does it happen? Through this nation, right? And then it begins to unravel how it happens from verses 13 onward. Verse 13 shows us that it will be through miracles. It says, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, the reason we see an introduction to a religious component here, and this is the reason that the Spirit of Prophecy points out apostate Protestantism in the U.S., is because as we're reading verse 13, we're talking about the USA already. But verse 13 revealed that there is a certain component in the U.S. that rises up to have power and influence over the government of the United States. This religious component is introduced in verse 13. How do we know? Because when it says, so you do it great wonders, that's a miracle, so that he made fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Fire coming down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Friends, that's pulling from two stories in Scripture. The two stories are as follows. The story of the great showdown that happened on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18 with Elijah. Fire came down from heaven on the earth, consumed Elijah's sacrifice, and drew the hearts of men. We are told in the book Prophets and Kings that a great revival began. It was short-lived because Elijah ran from Jezebel, but it began when that fire fell. A revival took place where men's hearts were turned back to God temporarily. So a fire falling from heaven symbolizes the happenings of a great revival. The same thing happened in Acts chapter 2 when fire fell in the form of tongues of fire upon the heads of the apostles. And what happened that day? The apostles went forth and proclaimed more light to the Jews gathered for the feast of Pentecost, and 3,000 were baptized in the day. Just two chapters later, in chapter 5, I believe, another 5,000 were baptized and joined the church. So fire falling from heaven is always connected with revival. But notice, revivals happen in connection with those who profess faith in Christ. It happens in connection with the church. That's what happened. Israel in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 18, and New Testament Israel in Acts chapter 2 being formed, in Acts chapter 2. So as we're looking at this now, we're realizing, whoa, a religious component has entered into the discussion. But notice, it says, by this revival that happens in the churches, therefore, in the United States, deception happens, because verse 14 begins and says, by these signs and wonders, he deceived them that dwell on the earth by those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, that is, in the sight of the papacy. So we're coming to the realization then that a revival, which automatically tells us a religious component is introduced. A revival is not in the government, friends. It's not talking about mosques or Hindu temples. This is a revival connected, as it has always been, with the church. But it's a false revival because deception comes as a result of these signs and wonders. And so, friends, we know we're not talking about God's true people. We must be talking about apostate Christianity. Within the United States, the apostate churches within the United States, a revival sweeps across these churches. And what happens as a result? Let's check it out. At the end of verse 14, it reveals it. It says, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, what? Now notice this. This shows you that it's in the United States, because notice, in order to get what we read next to happen, he must first talk and influence the people of the earth. That's why the miracles happen. The miracles influence the people dwelling on the earth. It's a saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, that is, to the papacy, which had the wound by the sword and did live. That's how we know it's the papacy. It was the papacy that was wounded in 1798. So there's the church having power in the United States, these apostate churches, to accomplish signs and wonders by demonic forces and influence, is able to influence the people. That's how you know it's talking about the U.S. Because in order for the image to be exalted and made, the people must first be consulted. That shows you that we're dealing with a governmental system, at least at this stage. It's still a governmental system that is a republic. In other words, the power lies with the people. That is what a republic is. And unless the people vote for a certain initiative to be passed, it will not be passed. This is why the churches have to influence the people in order for the image to be made, because we are talking about the Republic of the United States. The republic still exists until the image is passed. When the image is passed, the republic ends. Now, you know, this is an image to the first beast. In other words, it's the way the first beast operated, a reflection of how it exerted its power. And how did the papacy exert its power? It can only exert its power, friends, over the nations as it united with the civil powers of Western Europe. And therein we have an understanding of what the image is. It is the uniting of the religious and the civil. This is why we read in Last Day Events, page 145, paragraph 1 onward, it says, all who bow to the decree of the national councils at civil powers and obey the national laws to exalt the Sabbath instituted by the man of sin, as the papacy, to the disregard of God's holy day, will feel not the oppressive power of popery alone, but watch this, but of the Protestant world, here it is, the image of the beast. Continuing, those religious bodies who refuse to hear God's messages of warning will be under strong deception, and here it is, will unite with the civil power to persecute the saints. The Protestant churches will unite with the papal power in persecuting the commandment-keeping people of God. The lamb-like power unites with the dragon in making war upon those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists and Protestants unite. So do you see it? The Protestants in America will lay hold of the civil power of America in order to glorify, to make a system that imitates the papacy and glorifies the papacy. Hence, the papacy then rises to power again, as it had with even more power, because now it's Protestantism and the papacy unite to take hold of the civil power. So, friends, this is the image of the beast, the uniting of the civil and the religious. For what purpose? To cause men to worship the first beast. This is why now when we read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, that is who? That is the papacy. And his image, that is what? Protestant America uniting with the civil power of America. That's the image. So the beast is the papacy. The image is that replication of how the papacy operated in the United States itself. How does that happen? As miracles, signs, and wonders fill the churches, it will begin to influence the people of the nations, starting here in the United States. And as that influence spreads throughout the U.S., the churches will then influence the people to imitate the way that the papacy ran itself during the Dark Ages. And how is that? That the church has the power of the government in order to what? Enforce the church's dogmas. This is the image. So if any man worship the image, worship the beast, the papacy, and his image, Protestant America, uniting with the civil powers of America, the government, and receive his mark, that's what comes out of the image. Because once Protestants in the United States unite the government, it is for the purpose of passing laws, one of which will be the mark. The mark is Sunday sacredness. That is the mark of the papal system, the mark of the beast itself. And receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, that is, in his mind he agrees with the Sunday law, or in hand, meaning he may not agree, but he goes along with it in his works, that he might be able to still buy and sell, what will happen to that person? The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. So it's either, according to Revelation 14:8, the world drinks the wine of the wrath of the papacy's fornication, that is, as a result of the papacy uniting with civil power, what comes about? The enforcing of its religious dogmas upon the people. And if the people choose not to receive the laws that come out of that union of church and state, they face the papacy's wrath. So it's either you can face the papacy's wrath along with Protestantism, uniting with the papacy, uniting with the civil power. You can face that wrath if you don't obey their laws and traditions. Or the world will have to face the wrath of God. It says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. That means there's no... When the seven last plagues fall, and that is, by the way, the wrath of God in the very end, when the seven last plagues fall, it will be without mixture, meaning it's not mixed with mercy. Even in the flood, friends, eight people survived. Even when the fire and brimstone fell upon Sodom, Lot and his daughters, and if his wife didn't look back, she could have survived. The wrath of God throughout the centuries, throughout the thousands of years that the earth has existed, as we've seen God's wrath displayed, it has always been mixed with mercy. But in the end, the mercy of God will be taken out, and only the wrath will be manifested. Now, I dare not end off talking about the wrath of God without showing his mercy. You see, the reason that the wrath comes to those who receive the mark in his image, because they have apostatized, they've not only apostatized from the truth, but they are seeking to force others who don't agree to receive the mark. And so God's wrath comes against them, because Babylon's wrath is coming against his people. God's wrath comes against those who follow Babylon, because those who follow Babylon are seeking to bring wrath to his people. And so God therefore says, I'm stepping in. This is what the seven last plagues are, friends. It is a manifestation of God stepping in and taking control of the situation and protecting his people until the second coming happens at the time of the seventh plague. Now, as this happens, friends, it's important to keep in mind there is only one other time when the wrath of God was displayed without mercy in history. And friends, that is when Jesus drank the last dregs of that wrath from the cup of God's wrath. You see, as Jesus hung upon the cross, he bore the sins of humanity, of every generation, past, present, and future. He bore our sins in his own body, bearing our iniquity. And what happened? It says God's wrath, Isaiah shows us that God's wrath came against that sin, as it does in the last days. Watch this. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, it says in the following verse, you can read it in verse 10. Speaking of Christ, dying on our behalf, it says, yet it pleased the Lord, speaking of the Messiah, it pleased God, that is God the Father, the Lord, God the Father, to bruise him, that is the Messiah. The word bruise there literally means to crush him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. That's in reference to the cross. So we're realizing here that Jesus bore our transgression, but in becoming our sin, God's wrath was targeted against that sin. This is why Christ calls us to accept him, because in accepting him, we can escape the wrath that is coming. In accepting him, we can receive eternal life, because he experienced and tasted of death for every man. He experienced God's wrath without mercy that no other person needed to experience it. But in the end, because men reject Calvary, because men and women reject Calvary, then they must experience the wrath that was placed upon Jesus. They must experience it for themselves, because they've rejected the only way out. They've rejected the only one that bore the wrath for them. This is why Calvary is the central theme at the end of time. And it is exalted at the end of time to show and give men that opportunity to say, I accept. I accept this one who bore the wrath and the sin for me, that I may not have to bear it. Friends, may we glory in the cross, because on the cross we find the one who drank the wrath of God without mixture, that we need not drink it. I pray, friends, that this makes sense. This is the part of the third angel's message. And in the next 2 weeks, when I come back, we'll continue to study until we reach verse 12. Let us have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that these things make sense. Continue to guide us and strengthen us. May we receive him who died for us and who bore the wrath of God for us, not because he did anything wrong, but because Christ became sin for us. Lord, your wrath is poured out against sin, but because Christ became sin, your wrath was poured out upon him. May we receive him, that we may escape the coming wrath. Stand in power and protected by you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Brother Akeem, I just have a statement, Brother Ben. What I want to say is that you can preach,
I mean, you can preach, you can teach, you can show your family what God says in his word. And I can't believe them. It says that tongue is a language. And when you read it clearly, it says that all these men heard the disciples and the Holy Ghost fell on them. They heard it in their own language. So what I'm saying is that when you tell the people, give them the books on the mark of the beast, on tongues or anything, they just want to believe what they've been doing for years. And as you spoke this, how the dragon has caught them up, and they don't want to hear anything else. It is, and they believe that. I'm telling you. When the Bible, I read earlier that man want to believe the lie. They do not accept the truth. And they just want to believe that, and they want to teach it to others. They want to be in the pulpit teaching others about the Holy Ghost. If you don't receive the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. And I said, Lord have mercy. How deceiving that they're not preaching. But as I was mentioning to a person, I shared the word to, I think God is good. He's not one to judge you because you, but he'll give you time to learn about his Sabbath. So, but they said that the Sabbath is every day. I said, well, if the Sabbath is every day, well, I said, you wouldn't be able to work. You wouldn't be able to eat because you got to keep all the days holy. I said, it can't be. I said, it's clear in the word. But you know what? I leave it to the Holy Spirit, and that's it. Because, well, let me tell you something. When I heard this message, you know, when I heard it, I started going in my Bible, and I started searching the scriptures, and I went on the internet, and I looked those things up. And me and my daughter had conversations on the phone, and she said, yeah, we taught that he's a representative of Christ. Christ gave him the authority to be in his place. And I said, well, why you never told me that when she was young? She was young. She was like 16 years old. But when I showed her in the Bible what that means, Christ is in, I mean, the Pope is in the place of forgiving you of your sins. He's a man. He can't forgive you of nothing because he got sins himself. So as you repeat this message, there's people need to understand it. I believe Sister Tomiko is getting it. I believe she got it. And she tried to share it with her family. But I hear it. Some don't accept it. But I just want to praise God. I want to praise God for what he has done. And I looked at Matthew's, I think it's chapter 13, and I forgot what Luke said. It's the mystery of this gospel. It's given, that is a parable. It's given to them that want to know and want to do right for righteousness. He said, but it's not given to those that don't want it. So I'm just thanking God for what he's doing as he repeats their system. Because I always say it, repetition deepens the impression. And then I began to able to share it myself, and I studied. So I'm thanking you for sharing this with us and teaching us on the prayer line, as you yourself always in study, learning more to bring to us. So thank you. Thank you for this message, and may God bless you. Here you know, And as you're going to be on your journey for these weeks, I pray that he be with you and lead and guide you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem. God bless you.
Amen.
Now, I won't be able to play a song because I'm actually driving. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to just have to hang up. I won't be able to close out with a song because I can't touch my phone. So may God bless you guys and give you a peace and a rest tonight. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, from the Netherlands, from all over the place. And God bless you all. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.